What's up, Eagle Country? I'm Double T, Travis there, and this is another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Visit them online at orthosensi.com to schedule your next appointment or just learn more about all the great things happening at orthosensi.com. It is Monday, June 21st. Good evening to you. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time. Hope everybody had a great Father's Day weekend, and we're certainly going to get into some of the action that happened on Father's Day yesterday on the golf course out at Torrey Pines, the U.S. Open, a big ordeal as it's one of the majors of the season, the third major, actually, and it's always fun to see some of these moments happen on Father's Day, and a really cool happening with John Rahm winning that tournament. We're going to get to that at the end when we get to Double T's takes. But we're going to start off the show, as we always do, with who's making headlines. And before we get into some of the all-conference talk, all-state honorees, that's kind of where we're at in the sports calendar right now. The spring high school sports season has kind of come to an end. All the postseason awards are coming out, and then we're gradually working our way into the fall season. Going to be previewing the football season here in the coming weeks, having some of the coaches and players in to get us ready for the 2021 high school football season. But to start out tonight, I want to go back to the weekend, because there's a lot of folks here in the area that really enjoy road running, and the Lawrenceburg Hill 5K was slated to go on this past Saturday morning, and of course we had the big storms come through Friday night and into Saturday. They tried to hold off as long as they could. 8:30 was really kind of the cutoff. If the weather wasn't going to be good by 8:30, then they were going to have to cancel the event, unfortunately offering no refunds. That's just the way it's kind of set up with the permits and everything like that. But out of the safety for the runners and the volunteers, they decided to cancel the event. But all the entrants are still encouraged to run the 5K or the 5 mile, whatever you are going to participate in on Saturday, and time yourself virtually. Turn that into Stewart Road Racing by this Sunday, so there will at least be some race results. Everybody kind of had to do this last year that participated in the race virtually due to the pandemic. I know it is not ideal, but that is where we are at as of right now. And for all of you road running fans out there, one of the events that we cover each and every year at our website, EagleCountryOnline.com, is the annual circuit races. There will be five of those, and if you compete in all five of them, you'll have a chance to win the overall competition. But the first circuit race is going to be held in St. Leon, the Trojan Trot 5K. That's going to happen on July 10th at 8:30 a.m., and all of these five races that are going to happen over the course of the next couple months, July and August, the proceeds from the event benefit the cross-country teams at the particular school that is hosting. So it's East Central first, then they'll go to South Dearborn on July 17th, be in Brookville for Franklin County on July 24th, the Indian Trails 5K for Milan on July 31st, and then rounded out with the Bulldog Chase 5K in Batesville on August 7th. And you can learn more information and register online for those five circuit races at stewartroadracing.com. So now that we got that out of the way, we can jump in to some of these all-conference talk, as the Eastern Indiana Athletic Conference has released their spring all-conference teams. And I want to start in softball, because East Central may have been one of the most impressive teams to play a spring sport here in Eagle Country, going 14-0 and winning the conference. And they had five young ladies that made the all-conference team, led by Lindsay Henson, Carson Bennett, Jesse Kinser, Megan Kinser, and Lexi Hatmaker. Also, a shout out to South Dearborn's Alexis Dittmer and Corey Cornett, and Lawrenceburg's Brooklyn Couch and Megan Lawrence for making the all-conference team. Now, Melina Wilkinson from Greensburg was actually the MVP of the conference, Greensburg finishing third this year in softball, and she was certainly well-deserving of the honor. She hit .625. In conference games, 48 at bats, she had 30 hits, scored 25 times, had 13 RBIs, and 22 stolen bases, also hit four home runs. Now, I do think that Lindsey Henson has a case to have been the EIAC MVP in softball. I'm not here to say that she should have been. I'm just making a case for her. Like I said, Melina Wilkerson, very deserving of the award. But for Lindsey Henson, she hit a conference high 8 home runs, had 35 RBIs. The next closest in conference play was the Dunaway girl from Connersville, who had 25 ribbies. Henson also hit 592. That was second in the conference, had 29 hits and 49 at-bats, also scored 18 times. But the thing that kind of trumps anybody else's performance in the EIAC when we're talking about Lindsey Henson is not only was she one of the best hitters in the conference, she also went 7-0 in the pitching circle against conference opponents, 43 innings pitched, 57 strikeouts, had a 2.26 ERA. So I think when you throw in the pitching factor, my vote probably would have went to Lindsey Henson because she did it at the plate and as a pitcher. But again, Melina Wilkerson, a fantastic athlete, also a very, very good basketball player, very deserving of that MVP. And it was a great season for all the young ladies playing softball here in the area. But another congratulations to East Central on winning the conference championship and their coach Steve Kaufman for being the coach of the year in the EIAC. Now to follow that up, baseball, it was a great season in the EIAC for baseball. My goodness, this race came down to the wire. Batesville was able to hold off Franklin County, South Dearborn, and East Central to win the league 11-3. Riley Zink, Trey Peters, Calvin Sherwood, Jack Grunkmeyer, and Jacob Meir, the five Batesville Bulldogs making the all-conference team. I want to mention Brant Ertl for Franklin County. He's one of four Wildcats who made the all-conference team, and we're going to talk about him a little bit later because he's got a very, very bright future. South Dearborn, they finished third, had three all-conference selections, Adam Kunkel, Reese Willoughby, and Hunter Hatfield. They actually finished tied for third with East Central, who was also 9-5 in the league. Reed Cleary, the MVP of the EIAC, Sam Bond and Sam Houston also making all-conference, as did Lawrenceburg's Ethan Weimer and Braden York. And there's going to be no conversation about who should have been the MVP in the EIAC in terms of baseball. Reed Cleary very clearly should have won that award and did win the award. 52 at-bats in conference play, had 28 hits. That's a .538 average, led the conference. He also had the most runs with 19 and the most runs batted in with 21. So a big-time year for Reed Cleary, and we can certainly see him moving forward and continuing to play some baseball at the next level. And we will congratulate Justin Tucker, the head coach of Batesville, who was the coach of the year in baseball in the EIAC. Justin Tucker, also a very good kicker for the Baltimore Ravens, if you follow the NFL. So I want to get to a few more sports here. Spring sports, EIAC All-Conference, as you're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I'm Double T Travis there. Track and field, this was another particular sport where we had a lot of standouts. Plenty of young ladies, young men would eventually make it up to the state level and compete in Indianapolis. But the East Central girls track program, the beat goes on. They have been very, very good for a long, long time, and they had 6 All-Conference selections. Jessica Stinger, Hope Fox, Anna Graff, Rachel Campbell, Ellie Lingrich, and Georgia Ferguson. Now, these young ladies did a great job this season. Ellie Lingrich was probably the most decorated of the East Central track performers as she went on to the state level in 4 different competitions, the 800 meters, the high jump, long jump, and was a member of the 4x4 relay team with Campbell, Ferguson, and Graff, who I just mentioned. For Lawrenceburg, Lucy Thornton was their only all-conference selection. Other local interests, South Dearborn, no girls on the track all-conference team. On the boys' side, Batesville was the champion. They had 5 all-conference selections, as did East Central. East Central's 5 selections, Nathan Griffin, Luke Hornbach, Griffin Werner, Eric Perkins, and Leo Maxwell. Leo went on, I believe he was the runner-up in discus. I know he did the shot put as well, but he had a very nice run in the state tournament. Jacob Schatzel joining Ellie Lingrich as the MVPs of the track season. And Schatzel, if you have never seen him compete in any type of athletics, he is electric. A very, very good football player. And you can see why when he's on the track. He was EIAC champ in the 100 meters, the 4x100 relay, with some teammates, of course, the pole vault and the long jump. And if my memory serves me correct, I think he was just a junior this season. So he's going to be causing some havoc on the football field and the track going forward as a senior. Other sports in spring. Girls tennis and boys golf. We'll run through these real quick, and then we'll get to some All-State honorees. But, in tennis, Heidi Kane, no surprise here that she won number one singles at the EIAC meet. 27-1 this season, went on to the regional, lost in the regional championship to a freshman from Heritage Christian, who has had a fantastic season, obviously. The singles runner-up this year was Ellie McMullen from Lawrenceburg. Number two singles, I believe the pronunciation of this is Peyton Pease from East Central. If that is not correct, it would be Peyton Pies. It's one of the two. I'm sorry if I'm getting it wrong, but number two singles champion, Evelyn McAndrew, the three singles champ from Lawrenceburg. Number one doubles, Ella McAndrew and Callie Pope from Lawrenceburg. And then the number two doubles champs, Lacey Kelly and Avery Daniels from EC. So the Lady Trojans, Lady Tigers, making up the entire all-conference tennis team in the EIAC. East Central coach Scott Kluner, the coach of the year, and Heidi Kane was the MVP as the number one singles champion. And finally, in boys golf, Jonah Graham, he's a multi-sport star as well, very good basketball player. He finished first at the EIAC meet in golf, but South Dearborn had a great year. They ended up going on to the regionals, finished 10th, but Eli Hoffman, Austin Tease, Brady South, all year long were just phenomenal. They finished second, third, and fourth at that conference meet, and Cameron Williamson, a shout-out to him from Lawrenceburg, finishing 8th. Connersville was the team champ with Jonah Graham, as I mentioned, the medalist at that event. So that rounds out the all-conference teams in the EIAC. Wanted to make sure that those young ladies, young men, got their due here on Crunch Time for their spectacular seasons this spring. Now we can move on to All-State honorees, because there was plenty of them, specifically in softball and tennis, still waiting for some of the other All-State teams to be released. But we will start in tennis, and I mentioned Heidi Kane just a second ago. She was an All-State honorable mention from the from a tennis standpoint, and then a host of young ladies from Oldenburg Academy who had a nice season. They got bounced by Lawrenceburg in the sectional championship. It was a 3-2 match, went down to the wire, but their doubles teams of Teresa Wanstrath and Mimi Wilder and Emma Back and Evelyn Storms both made second team All-State in doubles. So pretty cool stuff there. And then we don't want to forget about the academics as well. Academic All-State as an individual, Mylan's Maitri Patel. And then team girls academic All-State, the East Central Lady Trojans and the Greensburg Lady Pirates. Earning those honors. In softball, we have already mentioned a few of these names, but worth mentioning them again. Lindsey Henson and Jesse Kinser, kind of the dynamic duo for the Lady Trojans. They made the 3A, 4A, third team All-State. Big year for both of them. Already talked about Henson a little bit and what she did in conference play. Overall, a 491 hitter, led the Trojans in home runs with 16 and 51 RBIs, 13-2 overall in the pitching circle, 112 strikes outs in 92 and two-thirds innings pitched. Kinser led the Trojans in average, 576 this year, 12 doubles, 4 triples, a homer, and 26 knocked in. And they did do a bulk of the damage, helping the Lady Trojans break some single-season team records in terms of home runs and doubles. There's probably many more records that have been broken this year by that team that just maybe haven't been shared out as publicly as those two particular records were. But congratulations to both of those young ladies for making all State. Maddie Tompkins from South Ripley, similar in a season to Henson, where she was really good pitching, really good at the plate. She's on the 1A, 2A second team, and she hit 556 this year, 10 homers, 40 knocked in, and then was 10-3 in the pitching circle, a 1.06 ERA and 182 strikeouts in 99 innings pitched. Somebody can do math better than me and figure out the ratio there, but my goodness, what a special season Maddie Tompkins had for South Ripley. Ripley and Switzerland County's Maddie Duvall rounded out the local All-State selections, making the 1A, 2A, third team. Excuse me. She hit 532, 6 homers, and 29 knocked in for the Lady Pacers. And there was some academic All-State selections as well. Paige Oldham and Kylie Laker from Batesville, and then Carson Bennett, Jesse Kinser, Megan Kinser, and Amanda Duncan from East Central. So these are great accolades. Again, these are things that we want to share on this show. Give these young ladies they're due for what they have done, not only on the playing surface, but in the classroom this season. So a job well done to all of those ladies. And earlier on when we were talking about baseball, I mentioned Franklin County's Brant Ertl, right-handed pitcher, class of 2023, so just a sophomore this year. Was 2-2 on the mound, 2.57 ERA, 52 Ks in 30 innings, also hit 5.07 and had 25 ribbies in 88 plate appearances. But he is expected to participate in the Indiana Top Prospects game taking place tomorrow at Graham Park in Westfield. He will apparently be joined by Switzerland County's Bryce Turner, a catcher who is going to be going into his senior season. He was a 460 hitter this past season with four homers and 17 RBIs. So those two will get a chance, I would assume, to play in front of some college scouts and get their name out there even further than it already has been, as they maybe have some aspirations of going on and playing some college ball. So we wish Brant Ertl and Bryce Turner good luck if they do indeed end up participating in that Top Prospects game tomorrow at Graham Park in Westfield. Now, this is something that maybe we haven't got a chance to talk about this time of the year very often, but how about some boys hoops? Yes, over the weekend, there was actually a couple of shootouts here in the area. The Lawrenceburg Hoops Summer Shootout taking place this past Friday and Saturday. I actually had a chance to go over on day one and check out the Tigers on my lunch break. I'll get to that here in just a second, but the Tigers actually showed out pretty well in this Summer Hoops Classic Shootout, whatever you want to call it. They did lose their opening game 37-33 to a pretty good Boone County team. Bounced back with a 41-23 win over Hagerstown. That was the game that I was able to see. They played two 20-minute halves with running clock. Tigers had, I believe, eight players in the rotation for this Summer Shootout. Garrett Yoon, Jackson Bobo, Daya Patel, Logan Rohrer among the top performers specifically in that Hagerstown game, as those are some of the big boys that are returning this season for Coach Cutter. And I don't want to reveal too much about this game, give out any maybe secrets that Coach has or stuff that he's working on moving into next season, but I will say defensively the Tigers look pretty good in this game, and I like the ball movement from the team as well. Everybody's touching the ball each possession, and they have multiple scores, which is something that you like to see at any particular school here in Southeast Indiana. Tigers would go on to defeat Ross, who was a pretty tough team out of Ohio, a 35-29 game, and then defeated Kings on day two to finish 3-1 in pool play. They actually had the number one seed in the bracket. There was 20 teams in this tournament, and that was based on fewest points allowed. So I know even though it's the summertime and these games, the wins and losses don't mean as much, I think Coach Cutter's still going to be pretty pleased with how his team played defensively over these summer games, because that's something that can easily translate into this coming season. Now, the Tigers would go on into the semifinals. They eventually lost to Cooper, who was the champion of this Hoops Summer Shootout. Want to mention a couple other teams locally that played in this tournament. Taylor went 4-1. They lost in the semifinals to Walton Verona, but Taylor has been very good over the past couple of years. Jimmy Holland, actually a former Lawrenceburg Tiger graduate there, heads on down US 50 and has been doing a fabulous job with that program. I don't mean any offense by this. Jimmy was a fine basketball player in his own right, but I think he's turning out to be a better coach than he was a player, and he might agree with that as well, but he has done an awesome job with that particular program. Looking forward to maybe catching a Lawrenceburg-Taylor game on a broadcast, maybe perhaps at Eagle Country 99.3 later on this season. But other local teams in attendance included Switzerland County and Harrison. Switz is still a very young team, inexperienced. They were 0-3 going into day two. They had a tough pool to navigate, playing Reading, Walton Verona, and Martinsville. So a very tough draw. Harrison was also in that same pool and hadn't won a game going into day two. I know Harrison and Switz played against one another in this tournament in pool play. I've not been able to track down a score from that game, unfortunately, but those two teams with some room to grow heading into the 2021 season. And East Central also holding a shootout over the weekend. Didn't see a lot of information on this particular shootout. They were kind of keeping the scores under wraps a little bit over there. But again, it's just summer games and the scores maybe don't matter so much. But East Central, Batesville, Jacksonville, South Ripley among the local participants in the annual East Central shootout. And while I don't have information to provide so much on this shootout, I like the big summer tournaments. I once upon a time played high school basketball, and we used to have summer leagues where we would go play a couple games here and there. I remember going to Milan most years. We went to Batesville. One particular year, we did go over to Northern Kentucky University, branched out, played some different competition like Covington Catholic and Connor and some of those schools that do some nice things over in Northern Kentucky. But I like these summer shootouts, getting 10 to 20 teams together, playing multiple games in pool play, and then go to kind of a bracket-style elimination-type round. Obviously good for individual and team development. Gives coaches a chance to try out some new things, whether that is actual defenses, motions, sets, anything like that. They can also try out some of their younger, inexperienced players, getting them to play against other varsity guys, see what their depth might be looking like heading into the next season. So there's a lot of positives that can come out of these big summer tournaments. They can also make the coaches can make connections with other schools and maybe change up their schedule as well. I would definitely like to see some of our area teams playing some stiffer competition where they can, because it always helps comes postseason time when you play a lot of really, really solid teams in the regular season. So I like the summer shootouts. I thought it was a cool idea, and I was glad I was able to check out at least one game over at Lawrence on Friday. Moving forward, another person that is making headlines as you're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries, is Steve Cotherman. And this is a name that a lot of people are going to know out in the Sunman-Dearborn community. He was recently inducted into the Indiana Association of Track and Cross Country Coaches Hall of Fame, member of the class of 2021. The induction was actually this past weekend, I believe. And Cotherman, he started his career as a teacher of physical education and health back in 1972, went on to teach in the Sunman-Dearborn Community School Corporation for 44 years, and still a coach there. Coached the boys track and field and girls track and field teams for several years and won many of titles. I don't have time to name every single one of them, but we'll just say he has got those programs to maybe where they're at today. And I mean, the sustainability of winning so many championships throughout the years has been quite remarkable. But he is also coaching the boys and girls cross country teams currently, and they have won numerous championships. And I know coaching, a lot of times we look at the stats, we want to see how many games you've won, how many championships you've won, and that is all fine and dandy, and that certainly does help get you into a Hall of Fame. But the relationships with the student athletes, teaching them how to become a young man or a young woman. I'm sure there's a lot of relationships that he's forged with the student athletes over the years and helped them grow, not only as athletes, but as individuals as well. And that's why people like him get honored with Hall of Fame type stuff. So if you want to read a little bit more about his induction, certainly head over to EagleCountryOnline.com. Got about 7 or 8 minutes left in the show, and that leaves me just enough time to get to Double T's Takes. This is something I have incorporated into the show over the past several weeks, as we kind of hit a little lull in this high school sports season. We already talked about that a little bit, so I like to sprinkle in a few things that I also enjoy talking about, and that is college and professional sports. Certainly still going to have a local tie, or at least it's going to be hopefully something that you find interesting. But I believe a lot of times we get wrapped up in the wins and losses of our favorite teams and don't enjoy sports for what it is. It's definitely something to provide us with some entertainment, maybe offer us some relief from our everyday problems and stresses and anxieties and things like that. And I bring that up because I came across something on Twitter that I thought was really, really neat. Now, the Cincinnati Reds were on a tear. They had won 13 of their last 16 games. They were heading into a four-game set with San Diego Padres over the weekend. And it looked like the Reds were going to steal the first game of the series. They scored four runs in the top of the ninth in dramatic fashion. And wouldn't you know it, San Diego comes out in the bottom of the ninth and hits two home runs, both of the two-run variety, and steal the win back from the Reds. That kind of put them into a tailspin, and they lost the remaining three games of that series and got swept. So this gentleman who was actually at the game, a Reds fan, and he said, "Reds fans, including myself, have been rough on the team. After yesterday's game, I am truly sorry I was one of them, and here's why." So he went on to put out several more tweets, and he talked about all these different individuals for the Reds that stopped by to talk to them, to this family in the front row while they were on deck. Luis Castillo's over there, and he's, you know, tossing a ball to this guy's son-in-law, signing it. Tucker Barnhart is talking with him. Jesse Winker, Tyler Stevenson, the list goes on and on and on. There was an instance where this is a different family, but Joey Votto actually signed a baseball and gave it to a young lady in the front row because she came to see him play and he got ejected and he apologized by signing the ball and all this stuff. So the point I'm trying to make here is that we do get lost in these scores and critiquing the teams that we love so much, and they should have done this and they should have done that, and they're never going to be this, they're never going to be that if they don't do this. And a lot of times that kind of makes it not so much fun to follow the sport. But these guys are human beings, and apparently they're very nice human beings, reaching out to this family on multiple occasions and basically made for a great trip for this family that went to San Diego to see their favorite team play. Yes, they didn't win, but it was still an awesome experience, and it just kind of got me to take a step back and say, maybe I take sports too seriously sometimes and get a little bit too worked up when my team doesn't perform to my liking. And the fact of the matter is, no one's going to win every single game. It's not always going to be perfect. So that's when we probably need to kind of step back and just enjoy the games that we love. One of the games that I love is golf, and I watch pretty much all of the major championships, and I was definitely tuned in for the U.S. Open yesterday. A lot of big names at the top of the leaderboard going into that final round. Anywhere you looked, you saw Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, who have kind of quite the entertaining rivalry right now. Rory McIlroy, you got Louis Oosthuizen up there, who is a former Masters champion. And then there was the eventual winner, John Rahm, who won his first major on his first Father's Day, a recent father. That's a really cool story in itself. I love when athletes perform well on a certain type of holiday. I remember back to King Griffey Jr. hitting his 500th home run in St. Louis on Father's Day with his dad in attendance. Those moments are the ones that live forever. And not only did John Rahm win on his first Father's Day, he's the first Spaniard to win the U.S. Open. He moved up to number one in the world, and this was a particular cool victory for him because he was dominating at the Memorial up in Dublin, Ohio, just outside of Columbus 2 weeks ago, but he tested positive for COVID-19 in the middle of that tournament and was forced to withdraw. And John said in his post-match interview that he believes in karma, and this was good karma because it came back around and he won an even bigger tournament, his first major. I thought it was really cool, and I'm a fan of his game. He is just silky smooth out there, can do it all, and under the pressure of the U.S. Open, really showed himself to be one of the top golfers in the world. I've also been paying attention to the NBA playoffs. It's been a weird and wacky one thus far. Almost every team has had to deal with some sort of adversity, whether it's an injury. I'm not using this as an excuse, but LeBron James was nursing an ankle coming in. Anthony Davis was hurt. We just saw it with the Brooklyn Nets. James Harden playing on one leg, bad hamstring. Kyrie Irving's out with a nasty ankle injury. The list goes on and on. It's even impacted the Phoenix Suns right now, maybe not an injury, but COVID-19, positive test for Chris Paul as they enter the Western Conference Finals. Kawhi Leonard is out. There's a lot of big names that have missed time in the NBA, is my point. It's not an excuse for any team winning or losing. It's just been a weird playoffs. Another piece of adversity is having a player like Ben Simmons who couldn't throw a basketball in the ocean. Yeah, he just really struggles putting the ball in the basket, but he's still a very talented player. But anyways, down to four teams. Phoenix leads the Western Conference Finals 1-0 behind a 40-point triple-double from former UK star Devin Booker. That was a fabulous performance yesterday. Was playing the point guard in Chris Paul's absence, and one of the big talking heads on ESPN recently compared Devin Booker to Kobe Bryant. I'm not quite there yet. He is a very, very talented player and might well be on his way to leading his team to the NBA Finals. On the other side, Milwaukee coming back from 3-2 down to knock out the aforementioned Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant almost made one of the best shots in playoff history. Would have been a three-point basket to win the game and put the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. But his toe was on the line. They go to overtime. Bucks win that one. And then the Atlanta Hawks, the number 5 seed, taking down the number 1 seed 76ers in Game 7 yesterday of the semifinals. So it's been a lot of fun to watch this playoff. Got young stars that are really shining. Trae Young, 22 years old for the Atlanta Hawks, a mini Steph Curry maybe. Close. I'm not trying to say he's there yet, but he's got a similar type game. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a couple-time MVP who's still in his mid-20s. You got Devin Booker, who I just mentioned. He's 24 years old. A lot of young stars starting to dominate this league, which has been fun to see. It's also going to be cool to see any of these teams win the championship, because none of the teams left have won an NBA championship since the ABA merger in 76. Suns played for the title in 76 and 93. The three other teams haven't even played for an NBA championship since that merger. So whoever wins, it's going to be their first NBA championship, with the exception of the Milwaukee Bucks. But I think the NBA is in a great place. I have a lot of fun watching it. Some of the older stars like LeBron and KD and Chris Paul and Steph Curry, they're in their 30s. They're getting closer to the R word there. Yeah, but there is a lot of big stars in the game. I just mentioned some of them. You got Nikola Jokic. He's 25, just won the MVP. Luka Doncic, one of the more exciting players to watch play. Zion Williamson, 20 years old. Ja Morant, 21. There's a litany of former UK stars that are in the league that are kind of taking the league by storm. Devin Booker, Jamal Murray, Bam Adebayo, Karl Anthony Towns, De'Aaron Fox. The list goes on and on and on. The league is in a very, very very good place right now with a lot of talented individuals. And the last thing I wanted to get to is the Bengals Ring of Honor. They are finally going to have one. They have announced that Anthony Munoz and Paul Brown will be the first two members of the Ring of Honor, and the other two members that will be among the first inductees into that Ring of Honor will be decided by season ticket holders, and they are going to actually announce the four Ring of Honor members during their Thursday night primetime game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I believe that is a September 30th game. Obviously, it's going to be at home, and I'm not going to go through the full list of nominees. I'm going to give you the two that I think is the correct answer. There really isn't a correct answer. There's about 20 nominees maybe to fill those other two spots. All of these individuals will eventually be in the Ring of Honor. I think Ken Anderson and Ken Riley would be the two obvious choices. Those are the next two players that the Bengals should already have in the Hall of Fame, joining Anthony Munoz, or at least at the very least should be strongly considered for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Selfishly, if I had a pick in this, if I was a season ticket holder, and this is based on some recency bias, I am a huge Chad Johnson fan. Once upon a time, my family did have season tickets during the heyday of Chad, and he was absolutely phenomenal, so I'd have a hard time not voting for him. But finally, glad to see the Bengals get a Ring of Honor and honor all of their great players, because believe it or not, I know they sometimes can be the laughingstock of the league. They have had some fantastic players over their 50-some year history, and one day, you know what? Joe Burrow is going to be in that Ring of Honor. I'm calling my shot right now. I think big things are in store for young Joe and the Cincinnati Bengals. But thank you so much for listening to Crunch Time. Again, we also want to thank our friends from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Check them out online at orthocincy.com. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.